So to complete our discussion on the Creed, we just think for a moment about this phrase, the final phrase in the Creed: we believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. So we believe in the resurrection of the body, which is precisely what the Creed says. And you'd be amazed at how many people don't realise that that is part of the Creed. This is part of the faith, this is part of the ancient faith. The resurrection of the body. That my body will rise from the grave. Now that's the Christian faith, and it's as much part of the faith as anything else. And we can't pick and choose with regard to it. And it is very logical. What it's saying is that just as Christ rose from the dead, so we will share his resurrection. That we ourselves will rise from the dead. We will rise out of the tomb. And people say, but what about those who are cremated? And for many years, the Catholic Church would not allow Catholics to be cremated. The simple reason that people tried to use cremation as a proof against the resurrection of the body, which of course is nonsense, because God can raise the body whatever state it's in. But the faith is that and this is what Christ says, that he will come again on the last day, the final day, he will come again. So we have three comings of Christ, if you like. We have the coming of Christ historically when he came, born of Our Lady. We have the coming of Christ in the sacraments, where Christ comes to us in confession to relieve us of our sins, comes to us in the Eucharist, unite himself to us, comes to us in confirmation to strengthen us, and so on. The constant coming of Christ in the Church. And the third coming, the final coming, of Christ at the end of history. Do you remember the very, very beginning of our catechumen that we said that unlike some of the other religions, Christianity is historic. It has a starting place and it has an end place. In one sense, the starting place is creation itself, the Big Bang. Because the Big Bang happened in order that we may develop, evolve, that Christ may come, that we may find him, and that one day we will rise from the dead and be in his presence forever. So, in one sense, the beginning is the Big Bang, the end is the coming of Christ. Or you could see the beginning, if you like, with Abraham, the historical beginning of the revelation of God. So, the Church's faith is that the body will rise from the dead in the way that Christ's body rose from the dead. And that will occur when Christ comes again in glory. And the Church believes this because Christ says it, and said it many times. No question about it. He talks about coming in glory with the clouds of heaven, referring to the book of Daniel, famous passage in the book of Daniel, Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven, and he will summon us from the grave. And there's these wonderful parables about separating the sheep from the goats. The sheep on his right hand, come blessed of my Father, receive the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. Go, you know, you who are accursed, to the place prepared for you. And lots of other parables referring to this final choice, well, not choice, but division of mankind between those who are saved and those who are lost. So the body will rise again. And it will rise in the same way as Christ's body rose. It will be as Christ's body is. In other words, it will transcend space and time. And we saw the resurrected Christ when he appeared on Easter Sunday evening. He was able to walk through walls. He was able to be in two places at once. So time and space no longer had any effect on him, on his body. Our bodies are limited to time and space. I can only be here. I can't be in London, I can't be in my presbytery. All I can be is here, because space demands that I can only be in one place at a time. And I can only be here now at this particular moment, because yesterday has gone and tomorrow hasn't come. But the whole of time is determined by the movement of the planets, by movement. And in heaven, there is no movement, there is no time, there is no space. And so our bodies will be like Christ, taking up no space, taking up and out of time. And you might say, well, why is the point of that? It'll be my body. Because Christ's body was Christ's body. There's no question about that, because when he rose from the dead, he showed them his hands and his feet and his side, showed them the marks of the nails. This was the Christ who was crucified. This was the same body that was on the cross, but now the wounds were glorious. The same body, but it's different. It's completely different. It's transformed, but it's the same body. Now, the faith is that our human body will rise from the dead at the power of God and the call of Christ. And that is because without the body, we're not human. If eternal life was to be just my soul, my spirit, in the presence of God, I would be forever a spirit in the presence of God. But I'm not a spirit. The angels are spirits. I am a human being, and a human being is a marriage between the material world and the spiritual world. The two are united, and when the spirit and the body come together, you have this unique creation called a human being. It's spiritual, yet it's physical. If you separate them, you've got a corpse. When you talk about a human being, you say you've got a corpse, and you've got a spirit. Two completely different things. It's only when they're together have you got a real human being. So for me to be myself forever, I must have my body, otherwise I will not be a human being. So from a philosophical point of view, the resurrection of the body makes, you know, complete sense. The body must rise again. As I said, there's no question of, because it doesn't take up space, there's no question of overcrowding or anything like that. People really get really worried about that when they talk about the resurrection of the body, that heaven will be overcrowded. But also, another very important reason why the body must rise again, it is because through my body, I have been in contact with God. God has been in contact with me through my body. It was water that was poured over my head that was the occasion of my receiving the Holy Spirit. It was human hands put on my head that gave me the sacrament of confirmation, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It was bread and wine transformed into the body and blood of Christ that fed me and nourished me, which I took on my tongue and my digestive system dealt with. But my body that handled the sacrament of the Eucharist. And when I'm dying, it is my body that will be anointed with the holy oil. My ears hear the words of forgiveness. My mouth proclaims the faith in Jesus. So the whole of my Christianity comes to my soul, to my being, to my person, through and with and in my body. And therefore it cannot just be discarded. That's why the church pays such respect and is so reverential towards the body. That's why we actually incense the body. We were talking about incense earlier on. You know, we go round on a funeral and we go round the coffin in the same way as on a Sunday we go round the altar with the incense. One is the altar, which is the very symbol of Christ. The other is a dead body. But that dead body has been the temple of Christ. Christ has lived there in that body. And so the same treatment, incensation. The whole system would collapse in terms of philosophical understanding of the Christian faith if we didn't believe in the resurrection of the body. Lots of people don't. Lots of people don't realise this. Don't think it's part of the Christian faith, but it is. And it's an essential part of the Christian faith because, you know, it's because Christ has risen, then we will rise.